ZEW Wirklich Wirtschaft kompakt. Ein Podcast des Leibniz-Zentrums für europäische Wirtschaftsforschung in Mannheim.
The steel industry is one of the most difficult sectors of the economy to decarbonize. A lower emission way of making steel has spread widely in the United States over the past four decades. But established steelworks rarely adopted it. Instead, new plants opened while many existing sites closed. How can the technology spread across an industry without being adopted at the places where steel was already being made? And what can this history tell us about the next industrial transition? A new study examines every US steel plant to answer these questions. My name is Pascal Ausederer, and today I'm talking about this issue with Eunsong Park, researcher in the ZEW Research Unit Environmental and Climate Economics. Welcome to the ZEW podcast, Wirklich Wirtschaft. Hello, Eunsong. It's great to have you as a guest on my podcast today.
Yeah, thank you for having me here.
Between 1985 and 2024, the proportion of electric furnaces in US steel production rose from around a third to more than 70%. Nevertheless, only a few existing plants were converted. What is the main explanation given in your study for this apparent paradox?
So the key is to look at where the electric furnaces appeared. So most were built at new plants, while conventional plants closed. And their share therefore rose, even though few existing sites, they changed the technology. So my study finds that changing on old site involved much more than buying a new furnace. It meant reorganizing an entire steelworks, creating a large additional cost. So the two technologies are also used different inputs and they're not equally suited to every product.
How do these two ways of making steel differ? And what does that mean for carbon emissions and product quality?
So yeah, there are two different technologies. And one is the conventional steelmaking, and they rely on blast furnaces for iron making stage. So in the iron making stage, coal is used to turn iron ore into iron. And that's where most emissions come from. And the other technology is called electric arc furnace. And in electric arc furnace, or EAF, they work differently. So it melts scrap steel and it uses electricity. So its direct emission per ton of steel are about 1/5 of the conventional route. So the trade-off is that the scrap can contain tiny impurities. So these impurities make the most demanding kind of steel, such as like automotive sheet, harder to produce.
You describe the decarbonization of the US steel industry primarily as a process involving new market entrants and plant closures. How exactly did the structural change unfold?
So the shift unfolded over several decades. More than 3/4 of the emissions reduction came from actually the new electric furnaces plants entering alongside the closure of conventional plants. And the less than 1/6 come from changing existing sites. So severe downturn in the early 2000s, it accelerated this process. The conventional steelworks, they were built to operate continuously and at a very large scale. So they were difficult to scale back when demand and prices weakened. And many companies went bankrupt and old capacity left the market, while the electric arc furnaces, their capacity continued to grow. And the crisis accelerated the turnover, but it did not make the old sites easier to remake.
In your study, so-called organizational adjustment costs play a key role. What does this term mean?
So I explain it like with thinking of with the switching banks. When you have a bank account and then you find another bank account or another bank may offer better terms, but then you have to move regular payments, you have to update your details, and you have to adopt a new system, you have to download a new application or something. These are hassles, and these hassles is switching cost. And also at the steelworks, the same basic idea applies, but on a much larger scale. So a firm is not just buying a new furnace, it is also changing the entire site, including the old facilities and the people, the commitments that are tied to them. So that is what economists call an adjustment cost. And in my study, I estimate this cost. I follow every U.S. steel plant over the same period. and record whether the firms kept a site running or closed it, or they built or bought a new plant or changed an old site to an electric arc furnace. Because scrap can put electric furnaces at disadvantage in demanding products, it's harder to produce high-quality products with electric arc furnace. So the model first accounts for the differences in what each plant can produce and earn. And then I estimate the cost needed to explain why firms still changed existing sites or why firms didn't change the existing sites. So the estimate suggests that the adjustment costs make up to 60 to 80% of the total cost of changing an existing site.
What is the key message from your study for policymakers? What should they pay particular attention to when promoting industrial transformation?
Yeah, the policy lesson comes directly from the model. So when I estimate the cost, after estimating cost, I can do some counterfactual simulation. And when I simulate the current price on its own, then it makes conventional plants less profitable, but it does not lower the cost of changing an existing steelworks to an electric arc furnace. So among these existing sites in the model, the main response is therefore closure. So they don't change their technology, but they just go out of the market. And so if policymakers specifically want those sites to change technology, they also need an instrument that addresses the upfront barrier.
So your study looks at changes in the US steel industry over the past decades. Is it still relevant for Europe today as the industry faces another major transition?
Yes, I think so. So the Europe is trying to do something US firms rarely did, namely transforming existing steel sites, and this time using hydrogen-based production. So that can make economic sense when a site is a strategic asset because it brings together skilled workers or the infrastructure, suppliers, and domestic production capacity. So the U.S. experience showed that these assets can disappear even while the industry becomes cleaner. My research points to the practical implications. When Europe assess support for a site, it should account for the full cost of reorganizing it and not only the price of new equipment.
Dear Oensong, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for listening. That was the ZEW podcast on the transformation of the steel industry with ZEW economist Oensong Park. If you'd like to find out more about the study, please do visit our website zew.de. You can also find further information in the show notes or on our social media channels. My name is Pascal Auserer. Thank you very much for your interest and see you in the next episode of Wirklich Wirtschaft.